Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Ma Shantam Tarangita. Tarangita took sannyas in 1984 and is a former nurse. Together with the Friends of Osho Netherlands, Tarangita makes Osho available in Holland on cable TV. Tarangita lives in the Osho Mevlana commune in Amsterdam together with 25 friends and is constantly working on herself, learning every day how to live a more peaceful and happy life. Tarangita, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing quite well.
Amazing. So, to start, tell us a little bit about how you came across Osho.
In the 80s or something, I was living in Amsterdam, and then more and more I saw people walking in red. And I myself was active in the women movement, and so to see people, and especially women, walking with a man around the neck was for me like, freely make yourself a prisoner of a man, something like that. You know, it was something like, I don't want to get married, and these women, they have a man around the neck. And I was also rude to them. I was always like, if I meet them on the bicycle, I was shouting at them, you know, I don't know why, but a reaction. But I was also curious because I never got a violent reaction back. And I was quite aggressive, kind of. On a certain moment, I was not depressed, but not going well. I have a heavy background of abuse, sexual abuse and violent abuse, but very intense. And if it would happen now, my mother would have been sent into prison, that's for sure. But in that time, everybody let everything happen, like nothing is happening. And I was going to a psychiatrist, and this person said that I, after 2 years of talking, something like that, I had to go to a psychiatric hospital, and they have to give me medicine. Because I had a lot of fear attacks, and I was talking to a person in red with a mala, sannyasin, about this, and this person said to me, "So you come tonight to my house, and there are a few more people, and maybe you will like it, and it can help you." And she explained a little bit, and I was like, "Okay, you know, maybe." So I went there, and what she did was in her room, what maybe 6 by 6 meters or something, we were maybe with six people, and then we did emotional release. So she gave me a big pillow, and she said, like, now, she knew a bit about my story, and she said, like, now you just pretend that you have a knife in your hand and you're killing your mother. And I was like, killing my mother, of course you don't do that. But everybody do it, so I also do it. And then I cannot remember for the rest how long it took, maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, I have no idea. And then there was silent sitting a little bit. And I go out of that room, I go home, and I'm on my bicycle, and I'm like, wow, the streets are so nice, and the trees are so green, and I have never felt like that before, and it was such a simple laugh to cry, because I'm still so grateful that this woman invited me. So that was one of the beginnings, but I was also still in this in the women movement, and how to explain now to the women that I am making a change. And so I said, I'm going to write an article in the women. It was a women magazine, a radical one. And I think before that even there was an advertisement in another feminist magazine, and it was a women meditation weekend that I did first. And there I went with my black leather jacket and my green hair. And if anybody's going to say something to me ugly, I'm gone right away. But everybody was so nice. And and after the weekend tour, I felt so good. So then I went back. I said I'm going to write an article against Osho. But I knew, of course, that I was already caught by Osho. I started, looking in the library for a book, and I had a tape on revolution. And one of the things that hit me immense was like I was listening to the tape. It was from the revolution, and just one sentence I never forget. I hear Osho say, "The only revolution is the revolution inside you." And I was like, knock out, because I think I was never really have been inside myself. I was always in like demonstration and, you know, and big mouse and this kind of stuff. So then after a while, I went to Oregon, I think in June, to the festival. Yeah, so there I knew I cannot explain. I have to cry because I feel so grateful. Yeah, so that's how I meet Osho.
Okay, well, thank you so much for opening up and sharing this very intense and dramatic story of your very difficult childhood. And I'm so glad that you came across a sannyasin who could help you. And then you said that when you went to Oregon, you almost felt like you were crying because probably you were remembering those moments, those feelings. I'd love to hear your reaction the first time you saw Osho in person.
So the first time I saw Osho, he was in a drive-by. I think basically I was in a shock. I remember I was quite early, so I was helping with the cleaning, the preparation before the festival start. And there was this sannyasin who was explaining how to vacuum clean, and she explained it so lovely and talking about cleaning. And so I very slowly, in a very nice way, I start trusting, because this is my big issue, trust. And then the first time I was just like, I could not fall into this whole wave of celebration and happiness. And so I was just watching. And but on a certain one thing, the first really meeting for me, even I saw have seen Osho before, the meeting was it was hot, and people were wearing a hat, and there was this woman, of I think were women, they were telling before Osho came, take off your hat, you know, out of a kind of respect. And I was in this rebellious thing, like, it's hot. Who do you think I that you can tell me that I have to take off my hat? So I took off my hat, and the woman was further. So immediately I put on my hat again. And I was like, oh, so if Osho says something about this, that I'm doing something wrong, well, I'll feel I do something right, because it's hot. I keep on my hat. Then I know I cannot trust him. So he was driving by very slowly, coming closer. And then he gave me this big smile, like everything is okay. And so that was my really first connection with Osho that I could see him face to face. And from there, that was my first trust. Yeah, so what I can say for my time in Oregon, because I start trusting and I was becoming, yeah, completely wild. Like I think I was there 3 weeks or something, 3.5 weeks. And I was just in a let go. and I was facing my fears. Like, I was always afraid for to go in the dark. I had bad experience in the dark. And I was all the time like, okay, so here I can trust. So now I can face darkness because nothing can happen. So then I went into the hills in the darkness. And, you know, I was just, it was a very nice way to confront myself, to face myself and to face my fears. And yeah, then I was doing a few groups, I remember. One of the groups in the beginning, I think the first group. So we were sitting and then hugging each other. And then you had to change to another partner. So every, I don't know, say 10 seconds, you have to change to another partner. But it felt so good. I was like this little kid. There was no way I would let go. So they really had to come to me. Yeah, you have to let go and you have to go to a... So, and then I learned also this. So, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I love that story of the hat. I think it's very meaningful. First of all, it says a lot about your personality, that you are rebellious. And I think we love rebellious people here for sure. And then the love that Osho loved it and he embraced you in your being rebellious. Perhaps what I would love to hear is if you can tell us a significant moment you experienced with Osho or during your time in the commune that triggered something in you that changed you completely, like that you felt like from that moment onwards, something shifted in your being. I don't know if you can recall a significant moment that you would like to share with us.
Yeah, there are a few things, but what comes out now, what comes up is, so after Oregon, I was always in a mess. So I asked, what can I do? And then they said, oh, where you live? Okay, I live in Amsterdam. Oh, why don't you go to the UM University? So I went to the UM University, but that was not such a good... I lived there for more than 3 years. But for me, it was not such a good place because it was too tough and I was too afraid. And they could not help me. So after more than 3 years doing all these therapies, I left more very afraid. And when I was out on the street again, my child was like maybe 6 years old on that time. So I had to take care and I was, in a bad state because I was like, oh, I did all these groups and I'm more afraid. I must be very stupid. And they advised me not to go to Osho in that time. They said I was not ripe for it. So I was very confused. I was very, so I was rebellious one side, but I was also very obedient the other side. And so I did not go to Osho. And then I went, it went worse and worse with me. Then I thought like, oh, I can only do one thing. I have to go to Osho and I write everything down. So then I wrote my story down, what my problem was. And my problem was my fear for authority and the structure in the UM University with Veresh is based on authority. And basically the game is that you become friends with the authority and then, you know, it solves, it's just a way of, and, but for me it was not good because of this fear that did not heal, that did not go away. And so I wrote, I went to Pune, and then you could put your question in a box. And so I wrote down what happened to me, and then he answered me. This was in Rinzai, and partly in Rinzai and partly in Isan. And he just mentioned a few sentences from my letter. So I knew, of course, it's for everybody who get touched by it, but I knew for sure it's for me. And one of the one thing that completely changed my life is the sentence that he said something like, even when the whole world say you are wrong, your truth is the only truth that counts. After that, every time when I became afraid, like later in the, when living here in the commune and being part of the organization here in the commune, and I was in a conflict with people, then the sentence came in my head, like, even when the whole world say you are wrong, your truth. So I had the courage for the first time in my life to stand behind my truth. And that gave me roots, you know. From there, the seed start opening up and getting roots. So that is one big thing. And the other thing that comes in my head is the rebellious part again. So I was in Buddha Hall, and everything is pin drop silence. Nobody is coughing. And there I felt a sneeze coming up. And I was like, who the fuck he sings? And I nearly don't dare to say it. But that was the feeling in me, you know, that I am not allowed to sneeze. So full on with all the power, I sneezed. And of course, immediately after, I was shocked. I was like, whoa. So I hide myself, head on the floor. And oh my God, what did I do? What happened? And then on a certain moment, slowly, I carefully put my head up again. And I don't know, it's like Osho was waiting till I put my head up. But then also again, this smile, the compassion, the love, and yeah, that's such a big healing. And other thing is also a little bit like that. I did not understand this bowing down, you know. I was bowing down in the shower to just, you know, on my own to feel, what is it, this bowing down? I did not get it. And so I was also in Pune, in the Buddha Hall. And so Osho comes and people are bowing down. And I'm like, yeah, but I have to be honest. So, and I don't feel like bowing down. So I'm not going to bow down. It's not my truth. So there I'm sitting straight with my back straight. And Osho look at me, but it was, the energy was so strong. So I just closed my eyes. I thought, okay, then I don't see you, but I will not bow down. And in that discourse, he started talking about the, what is bowing down, what is the meaning. And he was explaining that when, like the Indian culture, when these people bow down, it's like a habit, you know, they just bow down like a habit. And he said, when the Western people bow down and see people bowing down, then they feel like they say, like, I will be a slave, something like that. And he said, like, but if you cannot bow down, I cannot give my energy, something like that. I don't know exactly the words, but he said something like, I cannot give my energy in you, to you, something like that. And then I was so proud. And in front of me, I saw all people bowing down, you know, when he was saying this. And I was so so proud. And I refused to bow down. And then, but then I was, that night I was crying so much. It was like, yeah, because of my own stubbornness. So, but these are the things that created a transformation, or, yeah.
Yes, I understand. And I think it's absolutely amazing to hear how Osho worked on you through, basically, he killed you with a smile. If we can say like that. And, you know, you were so proud, so stubborn, so rebellious. But Osho just smiled at you. And also I like what you said about the idea of bowing down, that people in the East, they do it almost out of habit, automatically, whereas in the West, it's a sign of weakness. And as you said, you know, like you're a slave, and, you know, we have a big ego and we don't want to do it. But bowing down to Osho had a completely different meaning. And also, it seems to me that you learned the lesson of trust, you know, if I can summarize correctly.
Yes, this is over and over again. And still, I'm now, 67. And still I'm learning to trust over and over again. It's such a joy, and I'm so grateful for that. Because now I'm living in a commune since 30 years or something, because I love it. And on a certain moment, I was living maybe 1.5 years in the commune, and we had a meeting, and I said to the people, please, if I do crazy, I know what I'm doing, but I am all the time controlling myself. I'm all the time in control. Before I do something, in my brain, very quick goes, you know, if I can say this, if I can do that. And I said, I need to let go. I need to learn to, I don't know who I am, but don't think I'm going crazy. And I have so much respect for the people who were living then with me, because I was very rude and, if I can use the word, like perverted. Like I always have to be talk in bad words and dirty words and show my tits and show my ass and but I did it with awareness. This is what I got from Osho. What you do it with awareness. I knew I was doing it, but the reflexes were so strong, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to stop myself. I'm not going, and I need to trust the people here in the commune. I'm living with them. I really are living with like with 20, 25 people normally. So it's quite a group. And I know for some people I was too intense, and I understand. But I went through a lot, and I feel very grateful. I know if I look at my family, you know, who come from the same family, who had partly the same experience as what happened to me. And I can see I'm so lucky. I am so lucky. And that's it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And you say that you're living with 24 people approximately. So you lived in the commune during the time with Osho, and now after so many years, you're still living in a communal setting. And before, when I was younger, I thought that living in a commune with other people, sharing the same interests, meditation, Osho, you know, was the ultimate for me. But then as I grew up, I realized that that's not the case, you know, that I like my space, I like my privacy, I like to be in the world. And, you know, the things have changed, even though at the same time, I always aim to connect, and I love going to communes and connecting with sannyasins. So I think it's quite challenging, at least for me. It was challenging to be always with other people in a commune. So how is for you communal life, and what are the challenges you face?
The biggest and huge challenge is that when I get triggered, not to put my finger to the other person, like it's your fault that I get triggered. It's getting much less. I'm getting much easier. I'm getting much more playful. I catch myself much quicker. But this is my huge learning. We are not a center. We have a little meditation room. So before the corona time, people from the outside could come to dynamic and kundalini and to the evening meditation, but that's not possible on the moment. But for the rest, we are very individual. People are working outside. We connect, but it's also easy to not connect. It's not like the commune in the old days. So it's different. But still, we are living together. It's old school with the ground floor and then two floors on top. Yeah, I love it. I just love it. I love to learn. I love to learn from other people. I love to see other people who are have more awareness or do it in a different way. I love it that I just have to walk 10, 20 seconds and then I'm in a meditation room. I love it that we have a nice garden. I'm in the middle of Amsterdam. We are in the middle of Amsterdam and, you know, a very silent space. I love to see the young people coming in. It's also very much a challenge. new generations are coming in. I was always afraid that now we are getting an older people home, house, something like that. It's not true. There's always fresh new people coming. People are coming, people are going. I'm not stuck here. I don't feel that. I can just leave whenever I feel like leaving. I will leave, but I am just very happy here. And I get challenged all the time. The biggest challenge is what I said before, is when I'm stressed, when I get triggered, and then I'm still learning to stay calm and not give my shit to the other person, not to react, but to respond. That's my big learning. And what I learned for myself is, so I have this abusive childhood, but what I saw on a certain moment, so I'm a victim, but I become also the, how you call that, the opposite, the person opposite the victim, how you call that?
The sadist.
Yes, exactly. So like my mother, you know, she was, I'm not, of course, not that extreme, but still the action of the aggressiveness is in me. And it's a challenge. Every day it is a challenge. People know me, of course, and I can say sorry, but sorry is sometimes too late. You know, you don't want to say sorry all the time. You want that something new happens inside myself. Yeah, and I love it. I just love it. I can be crazy. I can be loud. I can be silent, which is, by the way, my name, Silence. Yeah.
Okay. No, sounds good. I mean, sounds a nice compromise between the old style commune days where everything was done together, or, you know, the other side where people live in isolation in the little bubble, whereas you guys are together, but you have also your space, your privacy. You are in the middle of Amsterdam. You're open to people coming from outside, visiting and doing the meditation. So yeah, sounds like a good balance and compromise. And living with other people is always challenging. You know, like we all have that issue not to react when people trigger us, and we all have our points where we get triggered easily.
Yes.
You mentioned this generational, you mentioned that you were worried that in the commune you were getting old and there was no one to kind of take over or bring new, fresh energy. And I think that it's quite important, at least for me, to hear how this passage, if you like, between the old and new generation is happening. So maybe if you can tell us a little bit more about that, and also like how Osho and the meditation and the things that you experienced in the 70s, 80s and 90s have now been experienced by people living nowadays in 2020.
I find it very difficult to answer. All I can say is, there is always a few people who are going for meditation, and there is a group who are not going for meditation. But also, it's in waves. So on a certain moment, then more people go with it. Because we have not, you know, like in Pune, in the resort or in other places, everybody's going to the evening meditation. But that is not what is happening here. People are working, and people are not interested. Not everybody is interested in the evening meditation, for instance. So you have young people who are going for it, and you have young people who think, who are basically afraid to come out, that they are a sannyasin. And they are a sannyasin. So, yeah, I don't know so good how, what to say. It's important that there are also older sannyasins in the commune. That's what I see. And it's also important that there are young people in the commune. So I don't know how to say it.
Okay, look, it's I think it's a very delicate point, and perhaps you know, we can leave it there and pick it up on another occasion. But I think it's crucial, you know, and somehow that's what we are trying to do in a way with this Lovosho podcast, talking to people like yourself. At the same time, we started to interview the new people. And then also, of course, everyone is who listened to the podcast might be some old friends, but lots of new people. And somehow we want to record your story, and not just the story, but talking and seeing also how you live life today and how meeting Osho and doing so many years of meditation changed your life, also to inspire and new generation.
You know what is coming up now for me is what is nice is about like young people, they are, or people are not so long a sannyasin. So in especially the first years, you can come in a deep crisis because the in the beginning, everything you feel, all the world is like that and everything is okay, and you smoothly go through your life, and then on a certain moment you become a sannyasin, and then the awareness start growing and one start waking up, and the way people start go to work will is different. And this is what I like about the commune, that you can, that we support each other. If I see somebody is, you know, problems at work, because now they start communicating different with colleagues, and it's very nice that the sharing, and that we can talk, and that people keep on trusting to keep moving and to persevere and to keep going, you know, not to go in a kind of panic, like, oh, you know, my whole world is going, because it's an intense process. For me, we had Osho, of course, in the body, but if Osho is not in the body, it's intense. Because life, it's a big transformation that everybody is going through and doesn't stop, you know, it keeps going, but especially the first years, it's to stand for your truth. It's so, this is for me what I wanted to say between new young people and new sannyasins living in the commune together with all of us.
I think you know, life is a big transformation. That's a quite powerful statement. I wanted to discuss also something very, very important you're doing and you have been doing for many years, which is bringing Osho mainstream through cable TV. I think since 1996, you are part of a team of friends of sannyasins called Friends of Osho Association in Holland. And one of the things you do, which is amazing, is to broadcast Osho's discourses via cable TV. So tell us a little bit about that. And then also, especially for people who might be listening, who say, wow, that's amazing, I want to do it in my own country. And, you know, just talk us through the steps and what people need to be doing to do that.
So I started, there were these flyers hanging in Osho Resort about Osho Cable TV, who wants to do that, and it was something in me since years, and I was like, also people saying, yeah, it's not possible, you cannot, you know, because I was all the time like, why Osho is not on the TV? Why, you know, if you see something from Osho on the TV, it's about sannyasins, but it's never Osho discourse on TV. And this was already for a while in my head. And then it was in the resort where these flyers hanging, and there was a meeting. And in that time, it happened quite smoothly. There was a contract with Osho International. And it just started. I just go to a broadcast station. I wrote them, and I thought it was very simple. I thought, like, I just bring this tape to this broadcast station and then they will do the rest, but it's not like that. So they told me how I have to do it. In that time was not a computer yet. It was all in the old fashioned way. And then they start saying that you have to subtitle it. So it gets subtitled in Dutch. So this is the way I'm still doing it. But I know that if people want to do it now, they have to write to the, I don't know where the group is now, in New York or in Switzerland, or in, they were for a while in London, but I think it's in New York. because what they want now is that they send the discourses ready-made to the broadcast station. Because I know somebody from Oregon wanted to do it, and he could not do it in the way I am doing it, which I think it's a pity, because it's the best way. You choose what is good to broadcast. I don't know how the situation is exactly. All I know is the way I'm doing it, that's not possible anymore. And you have to organize, say you want to do it, you have to organize it in your town, and then Osho International will send the discourses ready-made to the broadcast station.
I understand. Okay, fair enough. And then in terms of the broadcast station, who is financing it? Who is covering the cost?
So, like in Holland, we have to pay for it. We pay the broadcast station. But like I know in America, it's for free. So it would be fabulous if people would do it there. But oh, they were doing it also in New York. I don't know if they still are doing it in New York. But until a few years ago, a friend went to New York and it was still happening or show on the cable TV there. So many people, like many sannyasins, are paying like maybe 10 euro a month. So it's a very little amount. And some other sannyasins are paying more, or they give a good donation once a year. And then we organize Osho festivals, and like Osho Film Festival got organized a few times. So all kinds of things that are connected with Osho get organized. And paid if it needs to be paid. And sometimes we gain money from it, so then it goes in the pot. We don't take any money for ourselves. It's like worship, say. That's how we do it. And we do it since, like Friends of Osho exists since 1988, maybe 1989. We started with Osho on the cable TV since 1996.
Okay, that's super amazing and very inspirational. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why Osho is very popular in Holland. There are a number of centers. Many people know about Osho, including new generations. And I'm sure that part of the reason why it's so is because of cable TV. And just one question on cable TV, because I don't know much about it. So I guess it depends on the country. So say, I don't know, I want to do it in Italy or Greece or whatever. Each country has a different agreement for, and you have to pay yourself. It's not a free service. So how does it work?
So the like what I said, I know in America, they like that you come with your, say, Osho discourses to the, because that's what this sannyasin, this Swami from Oregon said. He said, they teach me how to do it, and I can just bring Osho discourses on the cable TV there for free. But he was not allowed to do it like that anymore. And I think it's really a pity, because we get many letters from people who have never seen, it's amazing, but are people who have never heard from Osho, never seen Osho, and who write like that they are feel so grateful just to watch Osho on the cable. And like in Amsterdam, they said, we are always, there are maybe 150 people, groups, who are broadcasting on the cable TV. And Osho TV belongs always to the first three who got watched the most. And in the time that Wild Wild Country was starting in Netflix, Osho TV was watched most from all the other groups. So I think it's a really, I don't know, you know, I cannot look into the organization from Osho International. I don't know what is behind it, but I think it's really a pity. It would be nice if that got promoted much more, so many people can see Osho, just the discourse, not about sannyasins, but really the discourses. And then people say like, yeah, but now you can see it also on YouTube, but that's not, it's different. And now we have digital TV everywhere. So normally only people around Amsterdam could watch Osho TV in Amsterdam. But now also people in the north of Holland can see Osho TV because it's digital and it gets broadcasted digital through the country.
Yes, I'm sure. I mean, there are of course a copyright and trademark issue. Of course, I'm sure you're familiar with that. And at the same time, I think it'd be great to have more ways to make Osho available in many different countries. There are new technologies, and it's a pity, but yeah, that's what it is. So, Tarangida, we are heading towards the end. Before I ask you three final questions, is there anything else you would like to add?
No, I have nothing really. What I would love is if the, I don't know if that's possible. Like now you have Zoom. We do evening meditation all together, but
So you're saying that you would like to do Zoom meetings and Zoom meditation?
Yeah, like the evening meditation, but I can do it here, you know, in the commune. So it's not but it's just that came up now for me because it's something that is worldwide. But of course, you have different times, and so drop it.
So basically, you're saying you would like to see that all sannyasins do the meeting, evening meeting meditation together on Zoom.
Is that what you're saying? If that is a possibility, but now I'm thinking it's not practical because 7 o'clock is everywhere different 7 o'clock. But it would be nice to have a kind of connection because it's something that is a little bit disappearing, I feel, like the evening meditation. But it's such a nice way. I always felt everywhere are people meditating at 7 o'clock in the evening, and it goes around the world. And what I understood from Osho, it will create a vibration around the world. I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking.
I think it's an amazing idea. Like I think it's great. I never thought of it, and now because there are some events happening. After the coronavirus situation, many sannyasins started to go on Zoom and do satsangs. There is Milarepa organizing one, which is amazing. Lots of hundreds and hundreds of sannyasins getting together. So this idea of the evening meditation could be done by time zone. So all Europe, or you know, there is a little difference between Europe, 1 or 2 hours, maybe three, but it could be done by, you know, Asian country, Europe, America, South America. So, and I think it's great because, as you say, we are all connected to Osho, but also we all know that meditating together has a different, it's a different experience. It's beautiful. So to have the opportunity to do it online, and that's a little bit of a situation now that the sannyas community is a little bit fragmented. So, which is good and bad, of course, but, I'd love this idea. So just now we planted the seed. Is an idea, and maybe one day it will materialize. Who knows?
Yes.
Okay, so I've got three final questions for you. The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
My morning routine is that when I wake up, I keep my eyes closed, and I just start the morning with meditation. I'm just laying in my bed. I'm laying on my back, and I just go in meditation, and it's very nice, and can take 5 minutes, can take 10 minutes, can take 20 minutes, not longer. And so then I go out of the bed, and I make my cup of coffee. Yeah, normally I go behind the computer, and I start working, no, naked or half naked. People already know when they come in the morning how I look. Then say around maybe 11 o'clock, I get tired, and basically that's my break. And then I take a shower, and I take a delicious shower, and also always with my eyes closed, I take it as a meditation, and really take care for myself. And then things that need to be done in the commune, some calls or whatever, organizational stuff, always something is happening. And people can pop into my room. My door is always open. you know, when it's closed, I am mostly not in such a good mood. So leave me alone. Yeah, so that's basically my morning.
Okay. So the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
My favorite meditation was always the evening meditation, because it's very round. It's with the dancing, and then the silent sitting with the music, then the discourse. Even though I'm always busy with discourses, the evening meditation is still a different thing. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Sometimes I can go, it's like I'm in Pune, I'm in the resort. When Osho was in the body, it's no difference. Not always. Sometimes I fall asleep. Sometimes, especially when it's about politics, I get a little bit annoyed. But mostly it's a very, very, very nice way to go inside myself. And then the gibberish, and then the jokes, and then the let go. The Osho, you know, it's such a complete round meditation. So, and then now I'm starting since 2 years or something with the Vipassana. So in between the day when it's always happening. So I sit down and I just sit. And I do 10 days Vipassana. So like now in October, I go again for 10 days. And this is, and why? Yeah, because it's just before this, before I started with doing the Vipassana, I did 4 years of intense therapy again. So I did not do therapy for years. I was just meditating. And then I meet a nice therapist, Vedanta, and so my nightmares disappeared and a lot changed. And now I feel, after that, I felt like just going into the Vipassana. And I sit silent and I can go so deep in the sweetness and ecstasy, but also in the rage and the killing and everything can come up. And to watch it and to burn it and to calm down again and to come back into the sweetness energy, for me, it's an amazing way. It's something I could not do years ago. No way. But now it's just happening, and yeah.
Okay. So the last question is, you live the Osho experiment. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today?
I have to cry. I'm great. I feel I'm just grateful. Every day it's a sweet challenge. I used to be so aggressive, and it's so nice to see myself communicating in a much nicer way, also on the street. For instance, when I see a mother being rough or ugly or mean to a child, spontaneously, in a very sweet and jokingly way towards the mother so she don't feel guilty, and towards the child, always there is a happening takes place. And I always feel there is a little transformation. I don't know if it stays, but it doesn't matter. It's just in the moment. This is just an example of my daily life. If I'm outside on the street, yeah, it's very nice to, I just communicate with people I absolutely don't know. Spontaneous. Yeah. It's from rudeness to friendliness. This is my experiment every day.
Well, it's been really inspirational to hear your story, considering you know, the very difficult childhood you had and all the way to how you are today. And you sound like a woman who has been through a lot, and you have wisdom out of your own experience, out of your own understanding. And the beauty is that it sounds like you're still working on it. You're still learning and you still want to keep growing. And that's very beautiful. And thank you for that. You know, I've learned a lot. There are lots of beautiful insights out of these conversations.
Thank you.
Okay, Tarangita. So, and also keep going with the Osho Cable TV. It's amazing what you're doing. Send you lots of love and a big hug.
Namaste. Thank you. And a hug back.
Bye-bye now. Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.